Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, I could just go right into the Semper Fi, welcome in and all that stuff, but let's just get right to it. 140, 125, Pelicans fall to the Sacramento Kings in an uninspiring brand of basketball that left many frustrated, including myself, based on what was on the line. You're basically playing playoff basketball, and you give up 49 points in the first quarter, 77 in the first half. You can't control points out of the timeouts. You can't find good shots at times. You're giving up easy shots. You gave the Kings way too many good looks at the basketball. Turnover is still a problem for the Pelicans, as they have one win in the NBA restart, a disappointing loss today to the Sacramento Kings, to say the least. Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. All right, we are here. So I had to get that off my chest. Bobby, watching this one today, and a guy that wants to get into this team and get into this perhaps playoff push. Now, they're not out of it by any stretch, but when you see something like that against that team, it's incredibly frustrating when you can't play defense like that.
Well, Christian, defense. What, I mean, we need to pipe in that noise and play a little defense, neutral site, but I don't know, like you said, there's no sense of urgency. I mean, when you give up 49, you should be giving up 49 points and a half. What was it, 49 points the first quarter? I mean, I don't know. Christian, see, this is frustrating. There's people like you who are casual basketball fans. Now, you want to embrace the local team. If you're a casual fan, man, they start watching this. I'm not watching this. I'm going to go do something else. So it was no sense of urgency. That's what was so disappointing because you look at the schedules lined up for them. Now, you said they're not out of it. They still got to play the Kings again. They tied with them. Look at the red-hot Suns. The Suns are now tied with them. I don't know. Just looking right now, I don't think the Grizzlies are going to bounce back. I would say, and it's not far-fetched, right now, who understands, I think, the task at hand because of their experience, or like DeRosa, what you have with the Spurs, I would say right now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it'd be the Spurs or the Trailblazers that's going to move on and get to the postseason. But very frustrating because I think a lot of fans wanted to be on board. And, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, whatever. So, Christian, we were hoping they could run the table, maybe go 6-2, 5-3, I think would be at worst. But it's how we got to where we are right now. One win and three losses. And I would say this loss against the Kings is as disappointing as the loss to the Clippers, you know, considering who you're playing and where the Kings are at. You know, it's not like, oh, well, look, we lost to the Bucks, or we lost to the Clippers, or whoever it might be. No, you lost to the Kings, and you've had the Kings number.
You got blown out by the Kings.
Yeah, blown out. Even when you came back, they couldn't get over the hump, whether it was 2 or 3 points. All of a sudden, the Kings would go on another run. Ah, now we're down by 14 again. And so that's just very disheartening, discouraging. We had enough offense. Listen, that's why a lot of fans, they'll call in. They challenge Coach Gentry about their defensive schemes, what are they doing. And I know a team can get hot, but the Pelicans are hot also. But you got to be able to play defense if you're going to have a chance to be a championship team. That's why – to me, running gun going forward, very entertaining. And Christian, what was our final point total? What did we have?
125. 140 to 125.
125? We scored 125 points and we got waxed. You score 125 points, you should win. What?
Look, you should win every game. If they lost this game by a bucket, 3 points at the buzzer or close, it'd be a lot more palatable. But it just they looked so young and so not ready for the moment. That's why it's discouraging, is because the Kings had so many open, clean looks at the basket and took advantage of it, knocked down several shots. And the three-point play seems to be the Achilles heel of the Pelicans' defense, going back to the Clippers when they set a franchise record in three-pointers. And they made the Kings look like the Clippers.
Yeah, and especially I'm thinking, like, don't tell me the Kings are going to set a three-point record.
Right.
Kind of like the Clippers. Now, I know a team can get hot. Again, if you look at just the box score, that's why it's deceiving, because you look offensively how well the Pelicans shot. They started off shooting a whole lot better at the free throw line. That wasn't the case down the stretch. You know, what I think you need to do. But it's still about the defense. Christian, wouldn't you take – I mean, you might say, well, I like the wide-open game. Yeah, you like the wide-open game, but if you win – wouldn't you rather win old school, like it was 92-88 or something? You know, rather you score 125 points and you get waxed.
Well, especially when the Kings were 20th in the league in pace of play, you would have thought by today's score that they were in the top 10 in pace of play.
Yeah. And Christian, it seems like whenever there was a timeout or stoppage in play and the Kings had the ball, they were scoring.
Whatever they wanted.
on that possession that they were scoring. And they never came up. Even when they got close, you got to come up with some key defensive stops. It's not like, you know, because you get to the point where you're matching basket for basket, then you got to get defensive stops to get back in the game. Then when you get back in the game and you're down by two or three, you got to continue to get defensive stops so you get a lead. But, no, that was not the case.
Frustrating is a number of ways I can describe this loss. And who do you put it on? That's our WWL.com opinion poll online at WWL.com. Is it the players? Is it coaching? Or both? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us on our mortgage financial phone and text lines at 504-260-1870. Cam Rogers, host of Believe in Tiger Woods on the Believe Podcast Network on the PGA Tour, the PGA Championship that is underway right now. Phil Steele, college football analyst from 6:10 to 6:30 tonight. The voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, 7:10 to 7:30. In the meantime, we're going to get Mark Menard in here at Master Control. Give us the positivity, because me and Bobby are living in negative town right now. So maybe Mark can lift our spirits a little bit, and we'll continue to break down the 140 to 125 loss of the New Orleans Pelicans to the Sacramento Kings.
And Christian, as we go to the break, I hope Mark don't tell me, because the Pelicans are trying to spin. Well, we just got to flush this and we got to forget about it and beat the Wizards tomorrow night.
This is going to come back.
Well, that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do, but you shouldn't even have been in this position.
This loss is going to come back to haunt them if they don't get that 8 or 9 seed. Now, there's still hope. You don't have to get the 8. You can get the 9 and play in. But, man, when you have losses like this, uninspiring losses that just looks like you lack the focus, does not look good for the Pelicans. This is Sports Talk on WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk, the Pelicans fall 140 to 125 to the Sacramento Kings. We bring in Mark Menard back at Master Control. And, Mark, talk us off the ledge, man.
Well, I'll start by saying it's just one game, and they need, you know, they still need to do some work in Orlando, but it's just one game. But I can't sugarcoat, you know, what their defense looked like in this matchup. And that was a big part of the reason that they never could quite close the gap. Look, Sacramento came out hot. Bogdanovich for sure came out just smoking hot and had a career high in terms of points. And look, he was bad in their last game against Dallas.
And Mark, the last game, I think he was 1-10. And then I think he made his, first 5 or 6 threes. I mean, he looked like a Hall of Famer.
You need to check your notes, Bobby. He was 1 of 15 in the last game.
So he was not 1 of 10, 1 of 15. Whoa.
And so that was something he certainly wanted to turn around. And look, this Sacramento team came in desperate. They were 0-3 since getting to Orlando, and they were desperate for a win. The Pelicans need to learn to recognize those types of things and know when a team is going to come out, you know, with a fire because they're backed into a corner. And that's one of the things that this young team hasn't picked up on yet is, you know, the urgency that they need to have sometimes when they come out of the locker room against a team that needs a win, and you also need a win. And so you need to come out and match that intensity on the defensive side of the ball. Look, I have no fault with what they did on offense tonight, or this afternoon. They scored 125 points. In terms of turnovers, they lowered, you know, what they had been doing in terms of turnovers. They only had 17 on the day. The problem is you only forced 8, and I think it was the fourth quarter before they got their first fast break points of the game because everything Sacramento did was going in the bucket. And here's another problem they had: rebounding. When they would get a defensive stop, they allowed too many offensive rebounds for Sacramento to go back and put the ball back up. And that's the part that's worrisome. And to me, the question that I have that I would like to, you know, find some way to get answered is how much of this has to do with the fact that their defensive coach is not with them in Orlando. Jeff Bezdelic, I know he's involved. I know that he FaceTimes or video conferences or Zooms or whatever it is they do. I know that he talks to them when they're not playing, but in the course of the game, he's not there. And so if you have a defensive game plan that's not working, how flexible are they to be able to change that up on the fly when the guy that they pay to coach defense didn't come to the bubble and is not there on the bench? That's a big question that I have that I would like to get answered.
Mark, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but you said something to the effect of they're young and they have a hard time recognizing perhaps the sense of urgency that's required. And I might have paraphrased, but I think that's basically what you said. So why all of a sudden am I to believe that they're going to recognize this and just go, all right, now it's time, if they haven't been able to recognize it thus far?
I don't have an answer to that, but I think that that's something that, you know, they're going to have to, you know, the coaches are going to have to get on them about, you know, coming out of the gate with a defensive intensity. It's not offense. This team knows how to score points. They're fifth in the NBA in scoring. So they know how to put points on the board. Their problem all season when they lose has always been on the defensive side of the ball. That and being careless. And those are things that nobody can fix that for them but them. Like, the coaches can harp on them all they want, but until the players decide that they're going to protect the ball and until the players decide that they're going to put a little more effort on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know how much the coaches can really do about that other than to keep telling them they need to do it.
Now, Mark, Coach Gentry made this comment. How many assists they had in the game? How many assists? Did you have that in front of you?
Yeah, give me 1 second. Let me pull that up for you.
Yeah, because the reason why I bring that up is because Coach Gentry said when our assists are up, we usually win when we get 30 assists. We win the majority of those games.
Yeah, they had 31.
That's what I'm asking.
They had 31
okay,
assists.
Okay, 31. Well, he said we win the majority of those games. But I guess this, he didn't say we always win. No, I guess this one of those games that's in the minority where if you have 30 assists or more, you might win 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. I guess this is one of those games where even the assists and the style of ball they want to play, it didn't matter because you hit your goals as far as assists. And like you said, it wasn't the turnovers what we were witnessing, particularly to start playing the bubble. It was just the defense. I was like, if you weren't even watching the game, let's say you just turn it on. All right. Oh, man, I forgot the Pelicans are on. And you turn in the first quarter, you probably think it was 40-some points to be almost maybe halftime or what? The first quarter's not even over. That to me was shocking.
Well, and this team also seems to struggle when they play teams who are hot from the three-point line. And look, that's hard for any defense, obviously, because that means your defense gets stretched. You got to guard more intensely a larger portion of the floor. The Pelicans haven't really seemed to figure out how to turn that around when teams come out hot from the three-point line. And we saw it against the Clippers, and now we've seen it against the Kings. And look, you can credit them for this. They didn't go away in this game like they did in the Clippers game when they ended up losing so badly. They were in it the entire time, and they made a few runs where they cut it to 3 points. They cut it to 2 points. But
right.
The problem is when you're that far back, you expend all that energy to get close, and then sometimes you don't have anything left to get over the top. And that's where they found themselves, because then they would slip on the defensive side of the ball again, and Sacramento, just like that, would be back up, you know, double digits. And that was the problem they had all game long. It was, you know, when they would get close, they would start to slip again on the defensive side of the ball. And that's not where they need to be. And look.
I was going to say,
they have another game tomorrow. It's their only back-to-back of the Orlando bubble. They're going to play tomorrow against a team they should beat in the Washington Wizards. We'll see how they come out again tomorrow and see if they can, you know, fix some of the things that plagued them in this one. They're not going to be playing a team that's, you know, as talented shooting the ball as Sacramento is. And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because Sacramento, you know, is hot and cold. But look, the Kings have shown that they can get hot at times and be dangerous at times this season. They just haven't found a way to put that together in strings and streaks. But they have had games this season where, you know, the off game, they can be hot. And this was one of those games for them, and the Pelicans couldn't figure out a way to turn the faucet off in terms of the Sacramento Kings offensive production. A lot of that had to do, though, with their defensive intensity not being where it needs to be, and also rebounding. They just, when you have a stop, it's so imperative to end that stop with a rebound and put an end to that trip down the floor. And just too many times today, the Kings got their own rebound. 13 offensive rebounds today for the Kings. That's too many, especially when they're shooting as well as they are. They could have been a lot higher, but a lot of their first shots were going in.
Well, right. You give them those second chance points, and then as well as they were shooting, the odds are going to be against you. Mark, and that's one reason why I don't bet. I can tell you, I was still very confident. I said, okay, here we getting where we need to be. When we had those runs and we got within 3 points, we got within 2 points. I'll tell you, I thought the Pelicans were still going to win. But all of a sudden, if you were watching it, and let's say, I don't know, you went empty the trash and you came back, you go, what? They were just losing by 2 or 3. Now they're losing by 10. What the hell just happened? I mean, no, it was very frustrating, because I thought when they made those runs, I still had confidence. I think a lot of the fans said that, okay, they're going to bounce back and come away with a win, but they never got those defensive stops that you have to get. I mean, you could say, well, you wore yourself out, you dug yourself a hole, but, you know, too much of their perimeter defense was suspect at times when you've seen guys are wide open. Now, they can miss it, but they also can make it. And how you play in defense, were you going above a ball screen or below it? How you switching? All that, to me, like you said, you made a great point about their defensive coach not being there. And the fans might say, well, Coach Gentry, doesn't he have an assistant to the defensive coach? You should be able to spread that message and get the players going. That's a great question, because, hey, we scored enough points. I take the approach, even the way the rules are and everyone's, you know, going back to the Golden State Warriors, jacking up threes and scoring in the 120s, 130s. I take the approach, you score 125 points, you should never lose. I don't care who you play.
Well, now, having said all that, you wanted me to talk you off the ledge, and I can't do that for this game. But, look, they're at the halfway point in the bubble. They have 4 games left, and they're all extremely winnable games for this team. You know, today's game should have been a winnable game, but it didn't turn out that way. But that doesn't change the fact that what they have
I'm
left on the schedule.
That.
But that doesn't change the fact that what they have left on the schedule is manageable. And so they have 4 games left starting tomorrow.
Well, Mark, I said the Memphis game was a must win, but let's say they would have lost to Memphis. I don't know, beat Sacramento. Then you look at mathematically how you eliminated or not eliminated. But you'd have to say right now that we've been in the playoff mode, or we should have been in the playoff mode, that don't they have to run the table now to even have a chance, considering the teams they're competing with?
I think so. Look, I said all along, 6-2, 5-3 should be the mark that you got to get where you want to go. And now they're 1-3, so they have four games left. They have to win all four, I think. Now, look, that.
So who do they play, Mark? Mark, could it tell the fans, okay, the Wizards tomorrow night, okay, that's a game, not really a back-to-back. It is a back-to-back, but it's more than 24 hours considering they're playing tomorrow night. But who do they have after the Wizards?
Travel.
The Kings again, right?
Well, no, after the Wizards, they play the Spurs on Sunday.
The Spurs,
and that's going to be a nationally televised game on ABC on Sunday. Then they play the Kings again, and then they get Orlando. So those are four games. Look, they're going to get a chance to get the Kings back, and they can maybe atone for what happened today if they can come out with a little more defensive fire in their belly. But look, Washington, San Antonio, Sacramento, Orlando. The Spurs are the toughest team in that batch. So that's going to be the one that I think is going to be the make-or-break game for the Pelicans. Now, having said that, they have to beat Washington tomorrow. But I think they're going to beat Washington tomorrow, and then that's going to take us to the Spurs game on Sunday. If they win the game against the Spurs, then their hopes are still alive, and I think that they've still got a pretty decent shot to at least be the 9 seed and get into that play-in tournament. Now, having said that, all of that also hinges on what the teams around them are doing. Now, if Memphis continues to lose, which I could see them going 0-8 at this point in the bubble. They're 0-4 already. They lost Jaren Jackson Jr., and their schedule does not get any easier. They could end up 0-8 and falling right out of this thing. So if Memphis drops out, that leaves you with Portland and San Antonio right there with you, as well as Phoenix and Sacramento. You're going to play the Kings again. You're going to play the Spurs. Yeah. You can directly impact both of those. Portland's schedule is not easy either. Portland's got a tough one tonight against Denver. So if those games continue to lose, then you're in a position where maybe the scale slides a little bit more in your favor and you have a little bit more of a margin for error. But I think if they win the next four games, and that's, you know, obviously that's going to be a tall task, but if they win the next four, that's going to put them where they need to be.
Well, Mark, look at tonight, and this is, you think about it, less than 24 hours. Portland and Denver tonight at 7 p.m., and then a noon tip-off tomorrow, Utah and San Antonio. So, well, I tell you what, go Nuggets, go Jazz, because, you know, everyone's talking how hot Portland and San Antonio, kind of the expectations there. But look how rapidly things could change because, like I said, in less than 24 hours, there's two meaningful games that they could, you know, distinguish the standings and could benefit the Pels, even though it looks down and out. Now, that's looking at the glass half full if they can win tomorrow night, but then you know what happens? You end up counting on other teams and all that, and they still have an opportunity, I think, to control their destiny. Maybe, for sure, the Spurs just got to run the table. But who knows? I mean, the way – if you look the way Denver's playing, I think that's like flip a coin, Portland and Denver, who's going to win that game. And then tomorrow, I think it's like flip a coin, who's going to win between Utah and San Antonio. Well, Bob, so, yeah, that's a game that can go either way.
Bobby, the key thing that you talked about there is the opponents for Portland and San Antonio. You've got Denver and you've got Utah. Denver is the 3 seed right now. Utah is the 4. Denver has a 2-game lead for that spot. Denver does not want to drop to the 4 where they'd have to potentially play the Lakers in the before they get to the Western Conference Finals. Right now the Jazz is in that position. Neither of them want to be there. Both of them would rather take their chances with the Clippers and a potential, you know, conference semifinal. So they both want to get to that 3 spot. Denver currently holds it, but with a 2-game lead, there's still room for the Jazz to catch them. So both of those teams are going to be playing with a sense of urgency against Portland and against San Antonio. So that works in the Pelicans' favor, where Denver and Utah are both going to keep playing pretty hard here because they both want that 3 spot.
Mark, at what point does this fall at the feet of Alvin Gentry?
That's a good question because, like I said, I'm willing to give him a little bit of leeway on the defensive side of the ball because his defensive guy isn't there. And to me, look, yeah, you might have another defensive assistant on your staff, but you don't have your guy. Like, Jeff Bezdelic is his guy, his hand-chosen guy for this season, and he's not there. So I don't know his capacity for changing the defense up if it's not working, in game when the guy that you've been that you're paying to do that and has been doing it all season isn't sitting right there with you and isn't really available to you once the game gets going. So in that respect, I don't know how much of that falls on Gentry. I don't know enough about the inner workings of the coaching staff to make that call. Because if you're looking at Gentry as an offensive guy, they put up 125 points today and they only had 17 turnovers. They got it done on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know that his style of play is the problem with this team. I think that, you know, they need to work on the defensive side of the ball. And you look at a team like the Saints. Sean Payton is not a defensive guy. And when the Saints have faltered, it's been because they didn't play defense. And he's had to, you know, find the right defensive assistant to work with his offensive style of play. So we don't generally blame Sean Payton when, you know, other than the fact that, you know, the buck stops with him. But
yeah, the buck stops. They are the head coach. Coach Gentry and Sean Payton, they're the head coach.
Listen, that's why,
yeah, and dealing with the COVID and the virus and all, I think even if the Pelicans wouldn't have won a game, that Coach Gentry's back next year. There's going to be more what happens next year as far as his future. That's what I think.
Well, Mark, and look, I said at the beginning of the season that the playoffs were not the priority for this team this season. This has always been a young team. It's still a young team. We're still in the inaugural season of this regime under David Griffin. I didn't expect them to make the playoffs this year. The fact that they're this close to it, to me, is a win. And, yes, you want, you know, if you're this close, it hurts if you don't get there. And it would be fantastic for them to make the playoffs in what I would believe to be a year early for this team to get the playoff experience. But I don't think playoffs was ever the expectation or the goal for this team in the first year of a big rebuild. I think that, you know, what they've done so far has given me a lot of hope for this team going forward, and I think that's what you were looking for this season. So in terms of whether or not Alvin Gentry is the guy to take this team forward, I don't think we can determine that currently. I don't think we can determine that after this season. I'm like Bobby said, I think he needs to come back for another year, and then next year that's when you know the true evaluation is going to happen. Once this team that has been totally rebuilt from the ground up has had a season under their belt to really, you know, to bond and develop and grow the chemistry that they need to compete at the highest level, next season is going to be the one that tells the tale for Alvin Gentry for me.
140 to 125, the Pelicans fall to the Sacramento Kings. It wasn't all negative. B.I. and Zion Williamson, impressive. We'll talk about that next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick here on Sports Talk, also joined by Mark Menard back at Master Control. And Mark, I can't be all negative. Look, there were some bright spots in particular. Brandon Ingram's stroke, man, is something else. He can shoot a basketball. And Zion Williamson seems like when he wants to go to the hoop, there's not a whole lot of guys that can stop him.
No, you're right about that. And look, I wish I had like a bingo card for the NBA TV broadcast for every time the play-by-play announcer called Brandon Ingram buttery smooth. It would have been marking him off left and right because he does have a really nice stroke and he had it working today. And Zion, I mean, we've said a lot about Zion all season since he's gotten into the game. And the thing that impresses me the most about Zion on the offensive side of the ball is how, after powering his way to the basket, his touch is so soft when he gets it up around the rim, where, you know, he puts just the right amount of English on that ball almost every time out, where either he's kissing it off the glass or he's, you know, dropping it around the rim. Whatever it is he's doing, you never see him go up, you know, he goes up strong, but you never see him go up and the ball, like, you know, pounding off the backboard. It's always right where it needs to be and just the perfect amount of touch. And that's something that you just have or you don't have. That's not something generally that guys at that level can be taught. It's either you got it or you don't, and he's got it in spades.
Mark, stay on the line. We're going to welcome in on our mortgage financial phone lines Val and Baton Rouge. Go ahead, Val.
Hello, fellas. Listen, I always go to the chat. It's not chat, YouTube, right after the games, and we get to hear Alvin Gentry and usually three of the players. So, of course, all of the chat text is fire Gentry, fire Gentry. And I heard Mark talk about how the defensive coach is not there. And, of course, we did see them score 125 points. But how can you not have your team motivated and ready when you had 2 days off for a game that you know you really need to have, especially to a team that is not as good as you?
Well, you know, like you said, they're too nonchalant.
They
seem like there's no sense of urgency. Okay, but you can be young and still have a sense of urgency. I think when Michael Jordan was young, he had a sense of urgency. LeBron, look how LeBron gets ticked off at times and he'll get frustrated. No, you can't just be, well, I'm doing my job. I'm scoring. I have some good numbers. But you got to want to play defense. It has to be a mindset. You know, like Dennis Rodman wanted to rebound the ball. You might say, well, how does he always find the ball? That's why, Mark, you know, you have a staff. That's why, okay, if your head defensive assistant isn't there, who's the assistant defensive coach? Well, does he not have those say-so? They don't respect him? That guy got to go. Because you look at the Clippers, what occurred there, now you can say, well, they just hot. But defensively, what we're doing, and, you know, we understand because of COVID, the defensive coach is not there. But I'm sure he has an assistant. Don't they respond to him?
I think that's a little overblown, if I'm just being honest. I think that, it goes back to, Bobby, what you were talking about. Mark, jump in here. Val, thanks for the phone call. The bottom line is that they're playing playoff basketball, and they came out looking like it was game two of the regular season.
Yeah, it looked like it was pre-Thanksgiving basketball.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't mince words on that earlier. They need to come out of the gate hotter on the defensive side of the ball. It's not enough to come out and be ready to score and put up points, because obviously the other team's going to do that too if you let them. So the defensive side of the ball has been a bugaboo for them all season. And part of that, especially early on, was they had to learn how to play together. And now I think that they're still learning how to play with Zion. And that's a part of his game that he definitely needs to step up, because his defense isn't
right
where it needs to be at the moment. And look, I can't bang on him too much. He's got, what, 22, 23 pro games under his belt total. That's going to come for him. And you just have to have a little bit of patience in terms of Zion. But that's something that he's definitely going to have to put the work in, along with shooting free throws. If I had to say, you know, what's going to be your emphasis for Zion in the offseason, I would say he's got to get those free throws and he's got to work on his defense.
And Mark, you know what else I was disappointed, because, you know, we always talk about Drew Holiday, but we made Fox, the young player he is, we made him into an all-star. Look how when he was attacking the basket, different things he was doing. I mean, he was very confident going against the Pelicans.
Yeah, we didn't have much of an answer for him, and we definitely didn't have an answer for Bogdanović the entire game. He played like a man possessed. And look, some of that you got to credit him for, because he had a really bad game in their last outing, and he came out obviously determined to turn that around. And look, sometimes guys are going to get theirs, but you have to limit it to maybe one guy getting theirs on any given night in the NBA. You can't let two guys go off on you the way they did against the Kings.
140-125, the Pelicans fall to the Sacramento Kings. Now just 1-3 in the NBA restart in the bubble in Orlando, and got their work cut out for them. Probably have to run the table in order to get into the play-in seed round of the NBA playoffs. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFMN.com. An update at the PGA Championship. Cam Rogers hosting Believe in Tiger Woods on the Believe Podcast Network at 5:20. Sports Talk continues here on WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.